possible. As you know, the school is the main hub of most communities, and a good school system can attract people to Wrangell, which of course relates to sales tax, property tax, and economic support for our local businesses. Thanks for your time, and I have one question I'm hoping someone from the city or council can answer as I sign off. How much did the taxpayers of Wrangell spend on our school system for the 2019-2020 school year?
Thank you, Mr. Merritt. I'm confident that will probably come up while we're speaking in the session here. So we're going to move on to the next person to be heard, please.
That would be Ryan Howe.
Mr. Howe.
Hello, can you hear me?
We've got you. Go ahead, please.
Okay, hold on. I prepared something. All right. Mayor Persunka and the members of the Borough Assembly, I appreciate you allowing me to speak on the topic of the city's contribution to the school budget. I know that my colleagues will speak to the importance of the teacher-student ratio as it concerns educational outcomes, but I'll just say that 25 to 30 kids in a classroom is not an ideal situation we should be aiming for. It's a recipe for mediocrity. But as I said, I'm sure my colleagues will talk about that. I'd like to talk about our local economy. As it currently stands, we have 23 full-time equivalent teachers in our district. As an aside, we also are growing, which increases our share of state and federal funding. As I was saying, we have 23 full-time teachers in our district. If the city contributes a statutory minimum of $583,000, that equates to roughly 9% or so of our budget, not quite 10%. With salary and benefits, each teacher costs roughly $100,000, give or take, to the school district. Using the figures above, the city shoulders the burden of $9,000 to $10,000 for each of those teachers. By way of thanks, you get a productive member of society who spends the majority of their salary locally, uses the local clinic and hospital, pays property taxes locally, and raises their children here. Even after deducting for mortgage, car payments, fixed costs, we will spend well above $9,000 to $10,000 in discretionary funds in the city. The knock-on effects of having that teacher and the consequences of losing them are vastly larger and more complicated than simply cutting a person out of a job. My point, each teacher is an economic engine that provides tens of thousands of dollars of economic benefit to the city, while the state and federal governments shoulder 90% of the burden. Over and above their social and educational benefit to the community, this should be part of your consideration. I have a difficult time imagining an investment where you get a 9-to-1 return, and if it did exist, it would be foolish to refuse. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howe. Next, Lisa, or sorry, Kim.
That's okay. Jen Miller.
Ms. Miller. Ms. Miller, are you on the line?
Can you hear me okay now?
We got you, Jen. Yep.
Oh, great. Good evening, Mayor Persunka. Sorry about that. And City Manager Von Bargen, Assembly members, I appreciate the opportunity to address you tonight regarding the upcoming budget. My name is Jen Miller. I'm a lifelong resident of Wrangell, currently serving as the Evergreen Elementary School Administrator in a principal teacher position after serving the district for 27 years as a classroom teacher. I have a couple other hats also that I wear in the community. I own and operate rental homes, and I'm also involved with family businesses, both in tourism, transportation, and commercial fishing. I have a really deep invested interest in the success of not only our public school system and the students and families we serve, but also as our community as a whole. And with that said, I would just like the opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the things that we do outside of the budget. The staff that I've worked with has always worked super hard to raise the funding we needed for the extra things that were far out of the regular budget. Teachers run whole classrooms on the budget of about $383 to $500, and that's been over at least the last decade or more, I'm sure. Examples of some things that we do that are fairly big outside the budget are Evergreen building a greenhouse with the help of the students. They actually collected over $5,000 in box tops off of food products to make that project happen so we can learn about how we grow our own food. Most recently, we've had readathons to put new books into our amazing library. We host book fairs, plant sales, seed sales. We partner with community businesses like the Forest Service, Resources as well, Shop Groundswell's another one. They come in and help us in the school teaching the students. KSUK is very involved with us, just to name a few. So we really try to get the community involved in the schools as well. Our families pay extra fees to help with expenses it takes to run our well-stocked library and classrooms out of their own teachers pay out of their own pockets for the things that they need during the school year. We basically run programs with many, many volunteers and whatever extra we can find, wherever we can get it. Of course, always trying to make everything for educational purpose. All these things do take many hours to accomplish, but we do it because we believe it's best for students, and that's how we try to make every decision. This last year, Evergreen was received a national recognition, and it wasn't because of what anyone did that particular year. It was because of what a lot of people did over many, many years. I strongly feel that fully funding Wrangell schools is vitally important, not only for our today, but also for our future. The students that we teach are the future of Wrangell, and they are really quite amazing. I think we have a lot to look forward to with them. The staff desires to continue to move forward in a positive direction for our students, families, and the community. We have very dedicated professionals that know how to do more with less and find creative ways to attain this year after year after year. With the full support of the community, we couldn't do it without them. And we hope that we will have the funding that we need to, at the very least, maintain what we have. I appreciate the support that I've personally felt this year from the city through the actions of you, Mayor Pezunka, City Manager Von Bargen, and Assembly members. Thank you so much for receiving us. When we've reached out, there's been nothing but positive outcomes. I look forward to that continued partnership with the city, as well as continuing to build local business and resource partnerships. I've had repeated to me something to the effect of one of you saying, one team, one fight. I really like that, and I couldn't agree more. On another note in closing, I just want to thank you for your leadership and your vision during these troubling and uncertain times. It is definitely recognized and most appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Miller. Kim?
Yes, Mickey Angerman.
Ms. Dangerman?
Hi, can you guys hear me?
We've got you. Go ahead, please.
All right. First of all, I just want to say thanks for getting together tonight to come together to discuss the budget for the upcoming school year, and I appreciate your guys' time and effort on that. I wanted just to take a moment to kind of paint a picture from my view of the multitude of ways that any less than fully funding the school budget could hurt the city of Wrangell, and obviously most precious resources are children. But the school district has made many cuts already, and class sizes have increased, and volunteers are now doing programs that teachers have done in the past. We watched supplies dwindle, books, you know, deteriorate. Computers, we're doing our best to keep those going for a one-to-one for students. And as an educator, or as educators, we often, our first reaction in challenging times is to double down on our efforts. And I think we've done a really great job doing that in some of the examples even that Jen had mentioned. But in the face of all this, teachers and support staff take pride in our ability to manage classrooms with half the resources creatively and show the world that the indomitable spirit of our students that we have. I've heard some people say that, you know, 25 to 30 kids in a classroom is doable. But I'd like to put this number into perspective a little bit and understand that larger class sizes means it's going to lead to more discipline issues. A percentage of those students are struggling with learning disabilities. A percentage of those students are struggling with mental illness. Many of these students need individual accommodations like extra time, being read to, or needing periodic, even just timeouts to take a moment. A percentage of those students didn't sleep last night. They didn't eat breakfast. They for they forgot to read last night or need help with a skill or are going through a social emergency. All 30 of those students likely represent 5 to 10 different reading levels and need to be differentiated for every single assignment. Class gets interrupted, needs get unmet. There are too many questions to answer, too much differentiation, too many distractions. And even if your student is one of the lucky ones that doesn't fall into one of the many categories that I listed above, your on grade level, focused, hardworking, and polite student will be left wanting and unchallenged in the classroom of 25 to 30 students. And that number is not a goal to be achieved, but it's an outcome that we want to avoid. So I'm hoping, Mr. Mayor and the honorable assembly members, right now, I hope that you can show the value of education for our youth and our community and bring a plan that fully funds the school budget. And I appreciate your time tonight.
There we go. We got me now?
There you are.
Thank you very much, Ms. Yep. Angerman. Is there anyone else, Kim?
Okay, so not to speak, but I have 4 letters that I need to receive that I received through email.
Okay. Are you going to read those into the record?
I'll go ahead and read them if that's okay.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. So the first one is from Addie Esco. She's the Wrangell Public School counselor. And her letter reads the following. I strongly urge you to do what is necessary in order to fully fund and support our schools. I recognize that we are in an unprecedented time, and more than ever that entities everywhere are being asked to do more with less. What I know to be true is that we all invest in that which we value. Just like our resources, our time, for example, is also remarkably valuable. I don't believe that we can ever say that we don't have time to do something. We just may not value something enough to make time for it. Because what you value, you make time for. So with resources, even when they are limited, we can't simply say that there isn't enough. What we are saying instead is that we just don't value it enough. So I ask you, please, as a community, if we truly value our children and education, continue to find a way to prioritize these things. Because what we value will always find a way. Thank you for your time. So that was Ms. Esco's letter. And if I can continue, I have a letter from Heather Howell, who is a parent and a teacher as well.
Okay.
Dear Mayor Prasanka and members of the Borough Assembly, my name is Heather Howell. I am a parent and a teacher at Wrangell Public School District. I am writing this letter to express concern and frustration with the recent borough funding formula and encourage the borough to make a city contribution to the schools rather than just taking money out of the secure rural schools account. I have been employed at WPSD since 2010, and over the past 10 years, I have seen reductions in student services, resources, programs, and employees as a direct result of reduced funding for public education. As a parent, I am concerned with growing class sizes, the resulting loss of instructional time, and reduction of opportunities for my children. As of right now, we are the only school district in Southeast Alaska that is growing. We are growing, and yet we are seeing a reduction in support from our city. As a parent, I want what is best for my children and for them to be awarded the same opportunities as children in other districts. As it stands right now, we do not have an academic counselor for our students, and we are losing a secondary math teacher. We are looking into the future with fear and uncertainty. We are exploring creative ways to shift our staff to cover these positions, but ultimately it is the children who lose out. As we stretch our staff thinner, we have to eliminate opportunities for our children. My hope is that you will recognize that the children are our future and give the students of Wrangell the support they deserve. Heather Howell. Okay, and the next one is from Michelle Jenkins, second grade teacher at Evergreen Elementary. Assembly members and Mayor Prasanka, I urge the assembly to fully fund our school district for the 2020-2021 school year. Please find a way to make students and their education at Wrangell Public Schools a priority. I do not believe a price tag can be put on the value of education for our children. These children are our future and the future of this community. I understand that our community is facing financial hardships, but believe that education should be high priority. We continue to make cuts and get creative in our school district as to how we can use the resources that we have. I urge the assembly to get creative in how they are finding funding. Thank you for your time, Michelle Jenkins. And I have one last letter from Laura Davies, proud parent and fifth grade teacher. Dear Mayor Prasanka and the Wrangell Borough Assembly, I am writing to voice my support for education and our schools in Wrangell. I am a proud parent of two students who attend Evergreen Elementary School. I hope that my children and the rest of the youth in Wrangell will continue to receive the quality of education they deserve for many years to come. I have heard that the assembly wants the school to look at ways that they can generate more income, and I would like to speak to that tonight. The students, parents, and teachers in Wrangell fundraise a lot for our school. Teachers and school leaders are actively looking at creative ways to bring in more funding for our school. I have brought in more supplies and books for my students through four separate Donors Choose projects. And at least two of my coworkers have used this online fundraising platform to get more equipment and supplies for our students. We put a lot of time and effort into multiple fundraisers for the library and greenhouse at the elementary school. Teachers are actively finding ways to bring in volunteer guest speakers and collaborate with local businesses on projects in order to bring powerful learning opportunities to our students at no cost. Teachers spend a lot of time looking for grants and applying to them in hopes of securing more money and supplies for their students. Many staff, including myself, find our own professional development, paying our own way to go to conferences and training around the USA. In the past, this professional development would have been funded by the district. However, that is no longer. Please do not think we are sitting back and expecting someone to fund all of our dreams. This is far from the case. We are also on the front lines, using our creativity, time, and effort to try to find solutions as well. We understand the financial hardships to school, city, and state that the state is under, but we also look the students in the eyes every single day and promise them a bright future. Please help us fulfill that promise. Sincerely, Laura Davies, proud parent and fifth grade teacher. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else online who wanted to be heard? Okay. Conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest they'd like to declare?
Yes, Mayor.
We'll start with Assemblymember Larrabee.
Thank you, Mr. Prasanka. Mayor Prasanka, I currently am employed by the district, and my primary source of income is through that. So I would like to declare that.
Good. I don't believe there's a conflict there because there needs to, as we've been learning, a direct line that would be a direct economic benefit to you. And although you derive your income from the school, you won't be voting directly on your pay package or anything that would be involved in helping you gain an economic advantage. So I don't see there's a conflict. Is there anybody in the assembly dissent with that? Okay, not hearing anyone, we'll move on. Assembly Member Powell and then Assembly Member Gilbert.
I have a potential conflict. My wife works for the school district.
Okay, and again, I don't see any conflict. There's not a direct line to an economic advantage to your family. So I am going to declare that there's not a conflict. Does anybody on the assembly want to dissent from that? Hearing no one. Assembly Member Gilbert.
Yes, unfortunately I must declare a conflict of interest on this agenda item. I am a school board member and as such I have a professional vested interest in the support and financial contribution of the assembly that will vote on this item tonight. Therefore, I will not deliberate or vote on the city's contribution to our school district.
Okay, Assemblymember Gilbert, I actually rule that you, by the given definition, you do not have a conflict, but it is, of course, your right to choose not to vote on the matters that you just raised. So is that your wish then, not to vote on that?
I think it should be, because my conversation with our borough attorney indicated that I essentially am a lobbyist for the school district. And therefore I'm promoting the school district's interest through my membership on the school board. I just feel very conflicted, and perhaps in the future we will, through our municipal code, rewrite our conflict of interest.
I appreciate that, Assemblymember Gilbert, and I honor your desire to stand tall with that and go with your gut. That is, of course, any assembly member's right to pass on the voting. So even though I don't see a conflict directly, I appreciate that the attorneys over the years have all had seemed to have different opinions, and even the same attorney can have a different opinion. So for right now, we'll go with that you won't be voting on that. Assemblymember Powell.
I'd like to ask Kim if that's actually the way it should go, because if we don't agree that she has a conflict, I don't know if she can opt out of voting.
Yes, she can.
Okay.
We did confirm that.
Is that good for you, Assemblymember Powell?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Any, David, your hand's back up. I don't know if that means you want to speak. Nope, there we go, it's gone. Anybody else have a conflict? Okay, then moving on to item number 5, new business approval of fiscal year 2021 Wrangell Public Schools local contribution. Recommended motion on page 3.
I move to approve.
Go ahead, Assemblymember Powell. Okay, Assemblymember Powell, read the motion, please, if you want to make it.
Move to approve FY 2021 Wrangell Public Schools local contribution.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Been seconded by Assemblymember Morrison. Okay, discussion. I'm going to ask the city manager to weigh in and walk us through things here and get us lined out so we can have a discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize. I won't be looking directly at the camera. I'm going to have my gaze over here at the agenda item on my other screen so I can talk through things. So please don't think I'm averting my attention from you guys as I'm working through stuff. So what is before the assembly and the public in this agenda statement is basic information from which I'm hopeful the assembly will be able to make a decision. So the minimum statutory contribution, as was indicated by members of the public who spoke, is $583,830. The maximum allowable statutory contribution, if you add other things to it, if we were to just make a local contribution, is just over $1.6 million. What Wrangell Public Schools has requested is $1.3 million. That's the same amount of money that was granted in last year's budget, minus the $100,000 for maintenance that was set aside that has also been mentioned tonight by members of the public. And I know Superintendent Lancaster wishes to speak to this later on when she has an opportunity to provide some words to the assembly, but I know that the school is very interested in having an opportunity to have that same type of maintenance plan in place again this year, if the assembly would agree to it. So the contribution that has been requested as it is outlined in the school district's budget is $583,830 as a local contribution coming from local funds and $716,170 in secure rural schools funding. I'll go over this a little bit more in detail, but we are anticipating receiving more money than that in SRS funding. Last year, we got about $968,000 in SRS funding. We are anticipating somewhere about $950,000 this year. And again, I'll get to this later, but SRS has been funded for FY20. We expect the payment in June. It's still too early for us to tell you exactly what that'll be. And then it was also funded for FY21. So to go over the history of contributions, and this will answer the question that was brought up by the first member of the public that spoke. In FY2018, the school district received just over $1.5 million. $667,800 came from the sales tax fund, and $848,488 came from the SRS fund, Secure Rural Schools, which was the annual contribution to SRS, the annual payment to SRS that came to the borough, plus some in reserve, because over the last couple of years, the amount of the payment did not equal the amount that was being given to the school district. In FY19, the school district received just over $1.4 million. $848,488 of that again came from Secure Rural Schools, the annual payment and reserves, and $583,800 came from the sales tax fund. And I want to point out to people what's in the agenda statement, these amounts that were coming from the sales tax funds represent the local minimum contribution required in those two fiscal years. Last year, for the first time, rather than taking money out of the sales tax fund, the entire contribution to the school was taken from the SRS fund. And it included the $968,000 annual payment that the borough received and some of the SRS reserves. In addition, the $100,000 for maintenance that was set aside for maintenance reimbursement also came from SRS reserves for a total of $1.4 million. I will speak to this in a little bit more detail later. However, what did come out of the sales tax fund last year and is scheduled in our budget to come out of the sales tax fund this year is just over $268,000 for the school bond debt payment that is owed. So that amount of money, that amount of taxpayer money went to pay for school district related items. So below the historical information there, the historical budget information, there are two funding options that have typically been used by the borough, and these are allocated for education purposes. The first is the sales tax fund, and annually by code, 28% of all sales tax revenue is allocated or is dedicated to what's called education, health, and sanitation. And it is from that percentage, that 28%, that up until this fiscal year, the amount of the local minimum contribution was taken and given to the school district. The other fund that is used to provide school contribution is Secure Rural Schools, and that is money annually, timber receipts that comes into the borough, and the payment again last year was $968. It's bounced over the longevity of the program many years, from well over, close to $2 million at one point, down to just over $800,000 in more recent years as well. But again, last year was $968, $580. And last year, as I said, the entire $1.4 million contribution for operating and maintenance went to the came out of the SRS fund. Does anybody have any questions thus far before I get into the amount of, I walk through the math table for consideration?
Questions? Okay, I'm seeing none. Go ahead, Lisa, thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm going to walk you through where we're at and where we anticipate being for this fiscal year in the sales tax fund. We had a beginning reserve balance in the sales tax fund, the specific to that 28% allocation for for education, health, and sanitation. We had a beginning reserve balance coming into this fiscal year of $609.32. We are estimating that this year's 28% allocation of that will be roughly $695.638. And as I indicate here by the star in the agenda statement, we have estimated low because we are expecting a significant hit to this quarter's sales tax revenue that will come in. That'll be the fourth quarter for this fiscal year. And actually, I think we're estimating a 50% decrease in sales tax for that fourth quarter. And we're just making that, that's an estimate. It's the best we can do right now, unfortunately. So we're estimating that the total funding or total revenue to SRS, excuse me, to the sales tax, education, health, and sanitation for this fiscal year to end up at $1,304,670. As I mentioned earlier, we are paying the school bond debt payment of $268,250 out of this, and the money that goes to the pool school for utilities in the amount of $29,000 is also coming out of the account. In this year's budget, you'll see an expenditure of $5,000 for sales tax audits. That has not been done. So that amount of money will not end up being spent out of there. So it's not factored into this equation. So we anticipate, given the nominal amount of expenditures coming out of this account, that going into FY21, we will have a reserve balance in the education, health, and sanitation portion of the sales tax fund of just over $1 million, $1.7 million. Again, estimating very conservatively based on what we know is going to happen likely in the first and second quarter of this fiscal year related to sales tax revenue, we anticipate about just over $687,000 in revenue, which would put total available funding for FY21 at almost $1.7 million. The expenditures we are anticipating right now coming out of this portion of the fund are the school bond debt reimbursement, or not reimbursement, the school bond debt payment. And I will add, this is the last year. We will be completely free and clear of school bond debt after this year. Yay! And the school pool utility money, we are hoping to get those sales tax audits done that we didn't get done this year. And because this amount of money can be used for education, health, and sanitation, we have programmed in a potential 20% match for the purchase of the baler that we know we are going to have to buy. And so with those expenses at $373,250, there's an available balance for potential expenditure next year of just over $1.3 million. Any questions on that?
Anyone have any questions? Just looking down the line. Yeah. Stand by. Assemblymember Decker.
Manager Von Bargen, I wonder if our finance director could answer for sure how you projected the reduced sales tax for both FY20 and 21, and if there was any reduction in 21. Because 50% of one quarter seems to be maybe not enough reduction, but.
So, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Assemblymember Decker, I can answer that question. So we anticipated a 50% reduction in the in the fourth quarter of this year. We anticipated a 20% reduction in the second quarter of the fiscal year, and we anticipated a 50% reduction in the fourth quarter of, let me back up, 50% reduction in the fourth quarter of this fiscal year and a 50% reduction in the first quarter of the next fiscal year, FY21, and a 20% reduction in the second quarter of next fiscal year.
Assemblymember Decker, do you want to follow up? You're still on mute, Julie? Well, maybe you're not, sorry.
Yeah, I muted my phone. Okay. Thanks for the clarification, that helps. I do wonder if that's, I mean, I feel like accurately, we might see more reductions than that, particularly in the quarter that we're currently in. But that's a, nobody knows for sure. So I appreciate that you're trying to do the best you can to estimate that. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, Lisa, I don't see any other questions. Please continue on.
Okay, to walk through the SRS fund, we have a beginning reserve balance